And away we go. Here we are, Thursday, November the 21st, 2019. You're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with you for the ride, and we have got a jam-packed show this morning. Now, I have a little programming update to give you, and just to kind of bring you in on the perils of booking a show like this. Now, I'm not going to get into that right away because we are going to get a phone call here in about 2 minutes. Update, I guess, because I like to keep you, the listening audience, abreast of everything that is going on locally in the political world. And we had an election, as many of you know, about a little over 2 weeks ago, beginning of November, I believe November the 5th. And at the end of that election, there were two city council races that were still too close to call. In the first ward, Kai Mead, the Democrat, who has been on this program many, many times, ended up being ahead of his Republican challenger by 4 votes. And then in the fifth ward, Leslie Cunningham, the Republican, ended up being in front of her Democratic challenger, Tara Dyer, who has been on this program many times, by about 8 votes. Now, because of the short, I guess, the few number of votes that those candidates won by, they had to count provisional ballots. And what we found out that were, I believe this is right, I believe the numbers are right here, that in the first ward, there were 17 provisional ballots that still needed to be counted. And in the fifth ward, I think there were something like 26 provisional ballots that needed to be counted. Now, the provisional ballots are, I think, the ballots that come in on election day from people who vote in the wrong ward, or they show up at the wrong place, or they're not registered correctly. Something goes on election day where they do not vote in the normal machine the correct way, so they have to do it on paper. And it takes a certain amount of time to get these provisional ballots counted, and yesterday was the day. Now, one thing we do know for sure at this point is that the 5th Ward City Council race did not change. The numbers changed a little bit. Tara Dyer did not win, but she only lost by 7 votes to Leslie Cunningham, the Republican. And I think that I am saying that right, because at this point, what we know is that in the 5th Ward, the margin only changed by 1 vote. So now the Republican, Leslie Cunningham, has defeated Tara Dyer, but only by 7 votes because of the provisional ballots being counted. Now that will probably stand most likely at this point because there's no recount in that particular race because of the number of votes won. But now let's go to the first ward, which we had a lot of attention on because we had the first ward Democratic candidate on many, many times during the election cycle. And as I said, Kai Mead was ahead by 4 votes on election night. There were 17 provisional ballots that needed to be counted, which were done yesterday. And we now have the new vote totals. Now, we're going to be joined here momentarily by Kai Mead to help us sort all this out. But this, I believe we are breaking some records here on many levels. Number one, number of votes that separate two candidates. And also, that thing that comes up every election cycle, does my vote count? Well, here's why you're going to learn if your vote really does count. And at this point, we are going to be joined via telephone by the Democratic, I guess it was the Democratic candidate for the First Ward City Council seat. And at this point, I think it's still safe to say the person who will be your First Ward Democratic, or your First Ward Council person, which we're going to get into here momentarily, it's Kai Mead. Kai, are you there?
Yeah, how are you doing?
Good. Now, Kai, what an interesting situation. I had people messaging me last night to get the information on this when it started to come out. Let's start from point A. On election night, you defeated your Republican challenger by 4 votes, which is a slim margin. But those are the votes that are cast on Election Day, and those are all the people who voted early. But you were ahead 4 votes. There were 17 provisional ballots. Now, provisional ballots are ballots where people, for some reason or another, could not cast their ballot the normal way and possibly had to do it on paper or something of that nature. Now, those ballots were counted yesterday. Am I right up to this point?
Just about. So there's 15 provisionals.
15, not 17. Okay.
So 17 total votes. And then what happens is you have like 10 days to kind of fix the situation. Like come into the Board of Elections and say, hey, look, I do live here, or something like that. And not everyone comes in and fixes it most of the time. So I think in the end, it ends up being 13 total votes.
So it started out at 15, and then it went down to 13.
13 total, so 11 provisionals, 13, or 2 absentees.
Okay, so explain to us the difference between a provisional and an absentee.
So a provisional is going to, like, say you're registered at one address, but your license says another. That would be an example of a provisional that you have to fix. Absentee is just voting early, or like a mail-in vote or something. It's voting early or a mail-in vote. So if you mailed in your vote and it was postmarked before, I think like the 4th of November, then it was going to get counted. But if it was postmarked before the 4th, it still might come in on the 5th or the 6th.
But,
and so that's how we had 2 of them.
So yesterday was the day to count these votes, and these were the only votes left. All the votes on Election Day have been counted, and all the early voting votes have been counted as well at this point, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So you go down there yesterday, and we're going to count these 13 votes. Now, at this point, you are ahead as of Election Day by 4 votes. So tell us first of all, who was there yesterday when this was all going on?
There was myself, Ayers Ratliff from the 2nd Ward, Jason Schauber from the 3rd Ward, a couple other Republicans, a couple other Democrats, and then as far as other council members, there was Josh Daniels and Jason Schauber.
Okay, so did in my estimation, there were only 4 people that this impacted. It was you, your Republican challenger, Tara Dyer, and Leslie Cunningham. These are the only 4 people, because of provisional and absentee ballots, that this could have impacted. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. So did those 4 people show up?
No, it was just, as far as people affected, it was just me and Tara Dyer.
So the Republicans did not show up?
No.
Were you given any reason? I mean, because Jason Schauber showed up, and he's a Republican. Were you given any reason why Leslie and your opponent did not show up?
No, I guess they just kind of figured that, I mean, there was enough Republicans there that someone could just let them know about it or something like that. I'm a little less patient, so I wanted to find out about it as soon as I could.
Okay, so, and I know this is not your race, but this is, I think at this point, the only news outlet doing this show, or doing this story this morning, because of the lateness of it coming out yesterday. I don't think it'll be in the Marion Star today. It'll probably be in there tomorrow. So this happens, and in the 5th Ward, where Leslie Cunningham was ahead of Tara Dyer by 8 votes on election night, what did that end up being as we counted the provisional and absentee ballots?
No, I don't have it right in front of me, because I don't know how many provisionals ended up getting counted, but I do know that it did only swing the vote margin by 1, and Tara did end up losing by 7 votes.
So Tara lost by 7 votes, which is a very slim margin by all accounts, and I think we have to, and there will be no automatic recount in that because of the number of votes and the percentages, right?
Yeah, to my knowledge.
Okay, now Tara was there yesterday, and just to give us a first-hand account, because you were there, what was her feeling when those votes were counted?
Gosh, I don't know. You would definitely have to ask. I mean, I'm going to guess that you're disappointed after putting in all that work, but that's really just a question for me.
And hopefully we will hear from her very soon. Okay, let's get to your race, because this becomes very interesting. Okay, you were ahead by 4 going in yesterday. 13 ended up being counted yesterday. Tell us what happened.
Well, it got a little closer. Now I'm up one vote.
One vote.
277 to 276. So we're going into an automatic recount on December 2nd.
Okay, now you're ahead by one vote. Now, that's an unbelievable thing to me. To your knowledge, has there ever been any race for anything in Marion County history that came down to one vote?
Well, there was a, while we were there, there was a race outside of the city. It's not coming to me which one. It was Waldo or Leroux or one of them that actually had to be decided on a coin toss because they were tied.
So, one vote, but at this point, all the votes are counted, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, that being said, it does have to go into an automatic recount because of the small percentage point that you won by. But, as I was talking to somebody about last night, we have new voting machines. They vote electronically. The Board of Elections has had these ballots now for over 2 weeks, 2 weeks and 2 days they've had them. They've had the early voting ballots for that same amount of time. They counted the provisionals and the absentee in front of you last night. In this day and age, I know why they used to do recounts, because people had paper ballots, and it's possible that somebody could have marked a wrong ballot or something of that nature. But what are the percentages, honestly, that one of the, they haven't checked it yet, that something could be wrong?
I'm going to hope pretty low, but I do know that there was a levy that they recounted with these machines, and they did the entire county, and there was not a single vote that was wrong.
So they did recount a levy, and not a single vote was wrong.
Yeah.
Well, what I don't understand is, and maybe you can help me with this because you were there yesterday, I understand that on election night that's kind of hectic and they want to count every vote because they want the numbers to be right. But 2 weeks and 2 days later, they have to certify those votes. I would imagine that everything that came out of those machines and everybody who voted early by this point, that they have already went through them anyway to make sure the vote totals were correct, because it was such a low voter turnout in this last election. I mean, is that safe to say?
And the way it was explained to me is that this is going to be a lot quicker than previous recounts with these new machines. Apparently, it's much easier than before. So whereas they're going to do a recount for my race and then the other race that was decided on a coin flip all on the same day. They only imagine it taking more than just a couple of hours.
So, but we won't know the results till December 2nd, is that correct?
Yep, unfortunately.
Now, if it's so quick and the process can be done possibly within a few hours, why 2 weeks?
That's a question for the board. I would like it to be as soon as possible, but they told me that their next free day was December 2nd, so I'm going to respect their decision and just enroll with it.
Now, with your Republican challenger not being there, this was just automatic, but there were some Republicans there, as you said. Nobody called for this recount, although I'm sure somebody probably would have with one vote. What were the Republicans saying at this point? Because it's very interesting to me, because of your race, coming down to one vote, it also swings city council. Because if you win, city council goes back Democrat for all intensive purposes. And if your opponent wins, it stays Republican for all intensive purposes. So really, the fate of city council at this point has come down to one vote. Is that safe to say?
Yeah. It just goes to show you that every vote counts.
Every vote certainly does count. So, how were the Republicans reacting when it shortened up from 4 votes to 1 vote?
I think that they're It was probably good news to them. I mean, the lead got smaller, and they're still very, very technically in it, but it's not a win for them, but it still keeps them alive.
But I think we need to go back to this idea of a recount. What is a recount? They'll go back and look at every vote counted. Is it just what it sounds like?
Yes, basically. They're going to go in, look at the turned-in machines that I believe the ones that were turned into the machine after you did the electronic voting. And so that's why in a war that the first would turn out being low, it should be a long process.
Well, that's what I couldn't figure out. See, I had this discussion last night as well, because we all voted this time with the new machines that just came in this past May, and anybody who voted last time knows that you got a little tape, which you never used to get before, which told you exactly who you voted for. So I would have to imagine that when they counted those on election night, I don't know how you'd miss somebody's name. It wasn't like filling in a circle like it used to be.
Well, I think that really the piece of paper that you're getting and turning in is kind of a doubling down thing. So I'm guessing that like the electronic machine tells you the results, and then you're double checking it with the paper ballots.
After election night, which again, 4 votes is not a large margin, you said you were confident when you called in the next morning. Now knowing, even though it's only down to 1 vote, that every vote has been counted. There are no votes to come from any other places, even though this does go into an automatic recount, and we really won't know till December 2nd. How confident are you at this point?
I'm still pretty confident. I trust the machine, but I don't think that they're going to change very much. The news about that levy gave me a lot of confidence also, just by how it did not change. And a county race is obviously much bigger than a ward race, and so I'm still pretty confident, but we'll have to see where everything lands from here.
Now, as we look back at your race, we had you on, I think, 3 separate times during the election, and then we had you on the day after the election. And you talked about knocking on doors. You talked about this being Robert Landon's ward, which maybe would now be considered Republican. You talked about all those things. Now, knowing that it came down to 1 vote, 1 person, that it looks like won this race, what does that say to you?
I mean, through the whole time, I said that it's a swing ward. You never, there's people, it's going to be close every time if you knock. So I think that this just shows that, you know, this is never going to be a ward where something's handed to you. You always got to work for it.
Did you ever think in your wildest dreams that it would come to an under 10 vote?
Well, I knew it was going to be close, but within 10 is pushing it. That for what's comfortable. Probably not within 10. I know it was going to be close in terms of maybe just a percent or two, but because of turnout and everything like that, you know, that's how you start to get into totals being within 10, 5, and down to 1.
Have you, in hindsight now, since the election being over, at one point believing you won by 4, and now if everything holds up, knowing that possibly you won by 1, do you have any things you would have done differently?
You know, I'm not sure. I know in a few weeks I'll probably sit down, look at everything from how we spent campaign cash to where we knocked the most doors and everything like that, and try to see what we did right, what we could do better. But I'm not there yet. Because right now I kind of just want to say, hey, I knocked on some doors. I did good with fundraising and everything like that. But I'm gonna sit down in a couple of weeks and take a really detailed look at it.
Do you think, in your heart of hearts, that with 1 vote, that anything is going to change in the next 2 weeks? Are you planning in early January to be sitting in that seat, which is now occupied by Robert Landon in the First Ward?
If you put a gun to my head, I'm going to say that I do not think anything's going to change. I think that the vote total will stay the same.
Because, again, we only say that at this point because all the votes have been counted. The provisionals and the absentees were taken special care of. That's how we got to where we got to today, with one vote. New voting machines, electronic balloting, low voter turnout. This probably will be the end result, which is a very interesting end result, to have somebody win by one vote.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, sometimes you'll see nationally or with other races, you see recounts change. But I am going to hopefully attribute that to, one, they're using different machines, and two, statewide elections. And so when statewide elections are within maybe a couple hundred votes, you're still talking about potentially a few million people voting. And so that's why I am pretty confident that here in Marion, they're pretty accurate as far as this election goes.
Because recounting the votes in the first ward at this point, they're only recounting roughly about 550 votes, right?
Yeah, and I'm honestly not sure if they're going to recount the entire ward or if they're just doing 5%.
So
maybe just one precinct.
One precinct. Do you find it strange that in your race in particular that your opponent did not show up? Were there any reason given for that? Any statement made by him at this point on social media or anything that you know of?
No, I've got no clue. It's completely up to him. I can't get into his head on that and whether or not what he decides to come to and what he doesn't, but you know, I'll leave it up to him to explain. I never try to get into my opponent's head on what they're thinking.
Is there anything in your opinion that you think swung it your way? That one vote swing?
On election day, some candidates have two different they look at election day differently. They say, some people say, well, it's election day, so I'm done, you know, there's not a lot more I can do. I've been doing this for months now. I started probably earlier than any other candidate back in April. And on election day, you know, I was probably planning on doing the same thing. And then when I saw the turnout was low, I went and the next 4.5 hours just knocked doors. Because I was like, you know what, I've spent all this time knocking last seven and a half months, so I might as well finish strong, and apparently it was worth it.
All apparently you had to do was get one person there to win this particular race. Just a kind of a parting question here. When we look back at this now and we take it all in, even though we are in an official recount, do at this point we call it an official result that is being recounted, or is it still unofficial?
You know, to be honest with you, I can't give you a certain answer. I guess I would maybe call it an official result pending recount, or maybe something like that. Like I said, it's probably not going to change, but there is the recount because it's one vote. Crazier things have happened, so you never really know. But these are all the votes, so I don't know how you wouldn't call it official, maybe, but you know, it really just comes down to what happens December 2nd, for sure.
Do we all, by the way, because this was asked this morning as well, do we know what would happen if, for some reason, and God forbid on your part, that one vote would turn around and it would end up in a tie? What would happen at that point?
I'm not certain if this is what has to happen, but I know last night with a tie, there was a coin toss.
That's really what happened, a coin toss.
It was a coin toss.
In our high-tech election systems now, we just flip a coin.
Yeah, and trust me, as I was sitting there looking at the results and seeing one vote, I was a little bit in horror.
Watch them
flip a coin over a city council seat.
Who flips that coin?
It was a member of the Board of Elections.
So, which race did this happen in last night?
Yeah. See, I want to say it was either in Waldo or Leroux, and I think it was for their, like, village mayor or whatever. I cannot remember which one it was, but I know that's how they decided it.
When they flipped that coin last night, we don't know who won in law. I don't have that in front of me. But when they flipped that coin, what did the winner say, what did the loser say the moment the coin came down?
Well, I don't believe either one of them was there. So, I mean, that would be strange news to to find out. But they did flip a quarter, and I believe someone with last name Stahl Smith won.
Have you got any congratulatory notices at this point, now knowing that every vote is counted, from people in your party, or way to go, or worried? Has any word came to you?
Yeah, for sure. There's been a lot of congratulations, a lot of good jobs, and hey, like I think you won, from Democrats, Republicans, and independents alike. But I always tell them thank you, but let's make sure we're completely out of this thing first.
Let's see what happens. Well, Kai, I thank you so much for calling. I imagine we will talk again on the morning of December the 3rd, when finally, without any hesitation, we will be able to say what the outcome is. And, I congratulate everybody who did run, because it takes a lot of time, a lot of effort. And what you and your opponent have been put through here, with recounts and provisional ballots and absentee ballots and a 4-vote margin on election night. I don't know. Is it better or worse to win by a lot or one vote? I don't know. In your opinion, as somebody who run, is it better to lose by a lot and say, well, I had no chance there, or to lose by one vote?
You know, I think that obviously probably the night of, You would rather, feel like, oh, well, you didn't have a chance or something like that. But looking back, I think maybe after a couple of weeks, you want it to be close, because then you have room to work if you want to run again, or just to know that your hard work paid off, and people were listening and had felt good about your message.
Well, Kai, as always, I thank you for calling in, and I'm sure we will talk again clear the morning of December the 3rd, and we'll get this thing cleared up. And also, by the way, we were looking around at this the other night. It quite possibly could be, if you are elected, the youngest person ever elected to city council. Is that still pretty accurate? Because somebody out there listening might be able to give us the answer to that.
I think so, but you'd never know. Maybe back in like the 30s or the 40s. There's a 19-year-old elected. You don't know, but I guess you could assume. But I guess we'll find out if we can get a listener to shed some light on it.
Because you will be how old in January when you would take that office?
22.
Okay, that could be. We'll have to see if anybody comes. Our own Charlie Evers might know the answer to that, and I would imagine he's listening. So maybe he'll tell us later on today.
All right. Well, thanks for having me, Scott.
Thanks, Kai. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you go. Now, this is important. Now, if that was a lot of stuff, but here's what we're saying. In Marion County, in the first ward, the race was Kai Mead, the Democrat, versus the Republican. There was no incumbent because Robert Landon, who is the Republican council person there, had left that seat to run for auditor. Neither one of these guys who ran in the first ward had ever run for office before, and neither one of them was the incumbent. On election night, Kai had defeated that person by 4 votes, which is a small, small margin to win by. Yesterday, they counted the provisionals, they counted the absentee, everything that was left. Kai is now ahead by 1 vote. But because of it being 1 vote, it has to go into a mandatory recount, which apparently we won't know the results of until December the 2nd. Now, boy, in Marion County, you cannot say that your vote does not count. 1 vote. And apparently, if this would go into a tie, they flip a coin. Now, in our high-tech world, our cell phone, smartphone, electronic ballot, get your receipt to turn it in to tell you how you vote. This is how we decide elections. You flip a coin. That is so interesting to me. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, because apparently this has been done before, but apparently it was done yesterday. But you flip a coin That's what you do. That's how you decide the election. You flip a coin, which I guess in hindsight might be the fairest way to do it. Who knows? But at this point, Kai Mead, one vote ahead in the first ward, with all the votes being counted. And again, what is so particularly odd about this is that right now, with the results standing the way they stand, city council is even, Democrats and Republicans. So whoever does win this first ward seat, that will swing council either Democrat or Republican. So it all comes down to one vote, not only the first ward race, but it comes down to, will city council be Democrat or Republican for the next 2 years? One vote. So nobody in Marion County can ever say again that my vote did not count. And you know what's so strange about this? Because we covered this first ward so fervently during the election. Do you remember the guy who called in when Tara Dyer was in here, who said he tended to vote Republican, but he went to the League of Women Voters event, and the Republican in the first ward did not show up. So he and that Kai had talked to him, had taken the time to go to his door, and that for this election he was going to vote for Kai. Do you remember him saying this? Do you remember this caller? People who listen every morning? That's one vote. That guy changing his vote from how he would have normally voted to Democrat changed this election. So had the Republican possibly shown up at the League of Women Voters event, he might be the winner. He would be the winner. So there you go. That's why you have to show up at these league events. That's why you have to come on the radio and talk with us. And that's why you have to get out and knock on every door. Oh, my God. One vote. Does anybody have anything to say about this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a call. I just find this absolutely fascinating. You talk about, we're always talking about Washington, but you talk about local political drama between a 22-year-old kid here, Kai Mead, and one vote in the first ward here in Marion. Which, by the way, is that right? Would a 22-year-old be the youngest person ever elected to city council? I know we have a lot of people very involved in history who listen to this show. I know we have Charlie Evers, of course, who will be in later today, 10 a.m. till 12 noon. I know that we have people out there who have lived in Marion for a long time. I know that people from the Historical Society listen from time to time, including Fred Malone. So does anybody know, has there ever been anybody elected to city council less than 22 years of age? He might be the youngest. I don't remember anybody younger than that. Now, maybe back in the Dark Ages, there was somebody, but I certainly don't remember it. Usually, a lot of young people don't run for office. Now they do. We're seeing younger and younger people now running for office. But back in those days, we did not see a whole lot of that. So does anybody know about that? Is anybody out there who lives in the first ward listening, who cannot believe now that their ward has come down to one vote? Give me a call. I'd love to hear about this. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What a fascinating story this has turned out to be. Now, what I wanted to tell you this morning about booking this show. We've had great guests this week. We've had Ed Asner. We had Pat Carroll yesterday. We had Santa Larry yesterday. We've had good guests. Bailey Hunn has been on this week. Now, here's the deal. All week I have been saying that at 9 o'clock this morning, we're going to be joined by Ashley Williams, who is the star of the new Hallmark holiday classic, Holiday Hearts, because the Holiday Hearts movie was supposed to debut on the Hallmark Channel tonight. Now, also I've been saying that on Friday morning, we might have a very special guest. I've been saying these things all week. Okay, let's rewind the tape here a little bit, and here's what happened yesterday. Hallmark, in their wisdom, which this is not a bad thing, but Hallmark pulled the Holiday Hearts movie from airing tonight. So don't look for it tonight. Holiday Hearts will not air tonight. They have moved it to Saturday, November the 23rd, because I guess on Saturday they have a bigger audience for these Hallmark Christmas movies. So now Ashley Williams' movie will not air until Saturday. Okay, that's the first thing. So because of that, I talked to Ashley Williams, and it no longer made much sense for her to come on this morning to plug the movie that's going to be on tonight. So we decided that maybe she should come on tomorrow. And that's what will happen. During the 9 o'clock hour tomorrow, Friday, we will be joined by Ashley Williams of the Holiday Hearts movie, which will now air on Saturday on the Hallmark Channel. Now, that takes care of our special guest on Friday. But our special guest on Friday, who will be joined by us next hour, confirmed that he was available. So now, our special guest, who we thought would be on tomorrow, is going to be on this morning from 9:10 to 10 a.m., and that special guest is going to be one of our dear friends here at the station, the man who portrayed Mr. McFeely for more than 30 years on the Mr. Rogers television series, David Newell. Now, why are we having David Newell on? Why is this a special guest and a big deal? Well, today, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, the movie based on the relationship between Fred Rogers and writer Tom Jeannot, debuts. It'll debut here in Marion tonight. So that's why we're having David on. And David has seen this movie, I believe, so he can tell us what he thinks. Tom Hanks, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, debuts today in theaters, and even in the theater here in Marion tonight. It's not in the theater today. It'll actually be at the Republic. Did anybody know that the movie theater in Marion is called the Republic Movie Theater now? But it'll be at the Republic Movie Theater here in Marion, the one in the Marion Center Mall, 7:15 tonight will be the first showing, 7:15, of A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood starring Tom Hanks and talking about the relationship between Mr. Rogers and the writer Tom Jeannot. So next hour we will be joined by Mr. McFeely himself, David Newell, to talk about this whole thing. So David Newell, Mr. McFeely, today, 9:10 to 10 a.m. to talk about this big movie, and tomorrow Ashley Williams to talk about the big Holiday Hearts movie, which now will debut on Saturday on the Hallmark Channel. Shoo! Now, does anybody... Are we all together now? Are we all on the same page now that we have went through all of that? And now we only have 10 minutes left in the first hour. About 9 minutes. 51 minutes after the hour here. WWGH time. So we'll be joined by Mr. McFeely very shortly. But what's your thoughts? Are you going to go see this Mr. Rogers movie? Do you think this is going to be a big hit with Tom Hanks? We don't know yet. We'll know what the box office receipts are at the end of the weekend. People keep talking about it being a great movie, possibly Oscar buzz around this thing. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Is anybody excited about the big Mr. Rogers film starring Tom Hanks, which will hit theaters later on today? 7:15 here in Marion tonight, by the way, is when it will debut. But if you're in Mansfield, also Cinemark in Mansfield, 7:25 tonight and 10:20. And Polaris, I know a lot of people go to Polaris. Showtimes today, 4:30, 5:30, 7:25, 8:55, and 10:15. That's when you can see the Mr. Rogers movie starring Tom Hanks. Okay, now, all that being said, what I did this morning was kind of interesting. Because as you know, every morning I stop, or I try, when the lines are not busy. I stop off at McDonald's and have a drink. But here at the studio, we have styrofoam cups. So a lot of times I'll come in when I don't stop and get the drink, and maybe we'll have a 2 liter of soda in here, and I'll just pour it into the styrofoam cup and drink it. Well, this becomes cumbersome after a while because you're constantly going through styrofoam cups, and who wants to do that? But years ago when the station first opened, somebody gave us these very nice ceramic mugs. And I think we have two of them left. And they're kind of oversized mugs. Now, the one that was given to me, because my favorite color is green, is an oversized mug. It's white, but it's got green polka dots on it, and it's green inside. Now, these mugs have made the trip with us from every studio, starting at the first studio we were at in the mall, the second studio we were at in the mall, and then they made the trip to Center Street, East Center Street, in the Beltone Hearing Aid Building, and now they're here with us in our new location. But they were kind of being used as catch-alls. Like, there were straws in them, and there were, change people would throw in them. So this morning I decided, I'm done with this. I'm done using these styrofoam cups every day because this is becoming costly. And, when we would run out of cups, I would never remember to pick any up. So forget the styrofoam and the paper cups at this point. I'm going to clean out this mug, and I'm just going to use this mug every day. So this morning I threw the change out of this mug, which about was 35 cents, and I cleaned it out. So I'm hoping there is nothing left in the bottom of this mug that will kill me. But if I happen to drop over during the show today, you will know what happened. So that's the way that particular story goes at this time. Go ahead, caller.
You were talking about the recounts on that first precinct.
Yes.
And the votes were very close.
One vote.
The paper was talking about the guy that ran for prosecutor lost by 22 percentage points, and he wants a recount. Does anybody know why that's going on?
Well, I'll say this. The guy you're talking about is Jeff Ratliff, who was the Democratic nominee for prosecutor last time around. Ray Grogan, our current prosecutor, is the Republican nominee.
Correct.
Now, here's what happened. Back in that election, which would have been November of last year, and this is how I understand it, the voting machines were different. Now, this was one reason I think we got new voting machines this year, because you did not used to get a printout of who you had voted for and then slip that into a machine. It was electronic voting, but you could, you didn't take a receipt over to the machine.
Right.
So I think what happened is there is a belief by Jeff Ratliff that possibly something happened with the machines, because if you remember, Channel 6 came here last, that was about election time in 2018. They came here because they had done a test run on the voting machines, and apparently the voting machines did not always spit out the right ballot. Some people thought that they were accurate. Some people thought that they were not. It led to people resigning from the board of directors of the Board of Elections. It came to the director and the deputy director both being fired.
That was a mess in itself.
Mess in of itself. So that all went down during that election. The director, the deputy director of the Board of Elections were both let go. Board members resigned from the Board of Elections. There was some question about the voting machines because of the Six on Your Side story, and I think that's why Jeff is asking for the recount, because he believes something might happen. To my knowledge, nobody else last year is asking for a recount.
Well, if it really changes, seriously, we've got a big problem.
Yes, if it would switch over and Jeff would have more votes, there would be a big problem. I'm not even sure how they would handle it, to be honest, because Ray has been acting as prosecutor now for more than a year since that election. And also, there will be, and I think this is right, we're going to have another prosecutor's race next year. It's only usually every 4 years, but our former prosecutor, Brent Yeager, unfortunately passed away, and that's what led to Ray Grogan being appointed to that position.
Right, right.
And then we had to have a special election because those are the rules, so that's what that was last year. Normally, we would not have a prosecutor's race last year, but Brent Yeager's term, which Ray Grogan is finishing out, ends this year, or ends next year. So next November, we will have another prosecutor's race, I believe, unless somebody tells me different.
Okay.
That's all right. What do you think about the one vote thing, though? What, I mean, when it comes down to one vote and everybody always says, well, my vote doesn't count, what do you think?
I'd be scared to death.
I mean, I know.
You just don't know which way to go. And the young man seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders. So I don't think we would be in bad shape if he did win.
It's very interesting to see how it'll all shake out. But we'll all finally know on December the 2nd.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. And again, phone lines are open. We do love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Don't forget, letters to Santa are out. You send a letter to Santa, and he'll send you a letter back. Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. Or if you want to send us a Christmas card here at the station, our new address, WWGH Radio, 165 West Center Street, Suite 208. That's the important part, Suite 208. Marion, Ohio, 43302. If you do send us a Christmas card and you put a return address on it, we will send you a Christmas card back. Remember, that's WWGH Radio, 165 West Center Street, Suite 208, Marion, Ohio, 43302. So that's how that particular bit of business goes. All kinds of news flying around this morning. 59 minutes past the hour, 59 minutes and 18 seconds to be exact. Don't forget Charlie Evers this morning, 10 a.m. until 12 noon. A swap shop with Glenn Coble today, 12:15 to 1 p.m. And the Adam the Computer Guy show today, 2:15 until 3 o'clock. You won't want to miss any of those programs coming up today. And I do hope you listen to the swap shop, 12:15 to 1 o'clock. Because we hope to continue that show, but we've got to have people calling in who want to participate. So Swap Shop with Glenn Coble today, 12:15 to 1 o'clock. We're going to step out here for a break. News and weather, come back with Mr. McFeely, David Newell, to talk about the new Mr. Rogers movie in about 15 minutes.
M. Blessing.
And for the first time, I'm very happy to say, doing the first broadcast interview here in Marion, Ohio, on a station named after Warren G. Harding, just a quarter mile from here, where the buried, is Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding and Nan Britton. Jim